Well, it's been a very long time since I shared. I think we figured out it was back in January. Not that I don't have anything I want to share, but I've got a whole notebook of things I could share from my own daily devotional times. But, you know, I just felt all the things that I have got written down and things that I've made notes of over the months, I just felt like I needed to come back and revisit the topic of healing again. I just don't think that that's a topic that we can talk about enough. You know what? The devil, if he can keep you from getting saved, if he can't keep you from getting saved, then he's going to try to take you out, right? And so you get saved, he'll try to take you out through sickness and disease. And you know what? We're just not all about that. Amen? And there seems to me to be a lot of just mixed thinking and thoughts about healing. When we talk to people, it's interesting to hear what people say. I'd like to just ask questions and hear what people say when it comes to the topic of healing. But, you know, some people, when they talk about it, it's all God. It's all about God and what God's going to do. God's going to heal them. You know, God's going to do this. God's going to do that. And then with others, it's all about everything that we have to do. But it's not either God or man. It's both. It's both sides. It's like having a coin. Can you spend one side of a coin? You can't spend one side of a coin, can you? You have to spend the whole coin. And so, you know, a lot of us are not experiencing the fullness of healing in our lives because we're not spending both sides of the coin. And that is understanding there's a God side and understanding there's a man side. In other words, we have responsibility in the process of healing just as much. It's not just God. Because there's a whole bunch of people who believe it's just what God's going to do. And then when it doesn't seem like anything's happening, they're very disappointed. And that's where the traditions and doctrines of men creep in. That's where man's doctrines come up. That's why you hear people say, well, we don't know why God didn't heal that person, or we don't know why they died, or why they went on, and we don't know these things. But the word is really clear, very clear. So we're going to look at a prescription for healing tonight. Healing isn't a hit or miss thing. It's not hit or miss. It never has to be hit or miss because God made it so easy. He made healing so easy. I know Doug Jones said to us years ago, and if you ever sat in my healing class before, you probably heard me say this many times, but Doug Jones told us once in Faith Library, he said he believed the day was coming where it would be as easy to get people healed as it was to get them saved. Well, now I guess it depends on who that is because some people aren't so easy to get saved either, but it isn't a hit-and-miss experience. We live in a very ordered, well-ordered universe, creation. Everything is very, very well-ordered, both in a natural sense and a spiritual sense. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." You know, this last spring, and it was spring finally came, I was sitting on our back porch doing my devotions, and I looked out, and I could see the little green things popping, you know, on everything. And this scripture came to my mind, and I was just thinking about the faithfulness of God. Every spring, we never have to worry about things budding and bringing forth life in the spring, do we? Because it's part of the order of God. And that just speaks of the faithfulness of God, the order of God. Well, God does everything decently and in order. It's not like He just indiscriminately heals people. Randomly just heals this one and doesn't heal that one. And people would maybe throw the example of the man at the pool of Bethesda up and say, well, why did Jesus only heal that one man? Well, honestly, I have thoughts on that. My thoughts are, we don't know that he didn't heal anybody else. It just gave us the account of one person. One person's account is recorded there. I imagine after that man received his healing that there was a rush to the front to receive healing. It's just not recorded. We don't know that more weren't healed. So people just think it's just this random, indiscriminate thing that God just, you know, just picks out this one and picks out that one and heals some and doesn't heal others. But God doesn't approach healing that way. It's not random. It's very well-ordered. Just like we know spring will follow winter, even after a year like this was, we knew spring would come eventually and that harvest would follow seed time. We know that there are realities in God's word that apply to the issue of healing as well. So it's the other thing, sometimes I think people approach healing like shooting craps. You know, they throw their traditions and doctrines and their personal experiences and all their misbeliefs, and they put them in a can and they shake them up and they throw them out. And they think that's going to be it. If it just falls out right, you know, if everything just falls out right, they'll get healed. Yep. Yeah. I couldn't think of anything else. And I've never done what I mentioned. I've never done that, so I really don't know what that even is, how that's done, but it just is what occurred to me.
Play Yahtzee.
Yeah, okay, play Yahtzee. So we're going to look first, we're going to look at one side of the coin, which is God's part. Amen? And this seems to be where most people want to stick. They want to stick here, and they want to put all of it in God's lap. And in my own healing journey back over the last couple years, I had a few scriptures that I always started with in my daily devotions. They were the ones to me that were keys. They were key things that I needed to pay attention to and feed on a consistent basis. The first one was Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, where God said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." So if I didn't know that God was a healer, I would have questioned. I would have had wonderings and reasonings. But it was established in my heart that God is a healer. And of course we know that that's a name of God in the Hebrew language, Jehovah Rapha, or Jehovah Rophe, or Jehovah Rophika. There's a number of different ones that are used there. But he is the God that heals. So if you don't know God as the healer, you might think, well, he's the God who's out of touch, or he's the God who's the punisher, or the wants to use this as a teaching moment, or, you know, but if you know that God's a healer, you know that healing is his ultimate plan and his ultimate will for us. So he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the great physician. Amen? And he's the Lord who heals. It's his nature. Isn't it interesting that he identified himself so much with healing that he had a name for it? It wasn't, "This is what I do." Like, my name is Mary Hansen and I teach God's word. No, he said, "My name is healer." So his name does identify what he does, but he so closely identifies with what he does that he actually named himself that way. Now, of course, we know God has other names. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees ahead and makes provision. He's Jehovah Tzidkenus. He's the God, our righteousness. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's the Lord, our banner. Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord, our peace. There's all these different names that God has, and they all point to different aspects or attributes of God's personality and character, but he actually identified himself as, "I am healer." So when we come to God, when we approach God, there's no other way to come to him. We don't come to him questioning our healing or about our healing, because he's already identified himself as healer to us. And he's not practicing medicine.
Yep, that's right.
In a sense, we could say he is medicine, because Proverbs chapter 4 says that his word is life to those that find it and health to all their flesh. And that word health is medicine. I'm very warm again. So that word health in the Hebrew is the word medicine. Now, isn't God and his word one? God and his word are the same. They're one. So God is medicine. He's good medicine for us. So his word is health or medicine to all our flesh. So whatever we're dealing with, whatever we're facing, God's word is health. Healing, medicine, it's a curative for anything that we face in life. Another thing that God is in another passage that I spent a lot of time focusing on over my couple of years, was Psalm 91. I fed on Psalm 91. You'd think you could never get anything more out of Psalm 91 after spending 2 years in there, and I still see things every day. In Psalm 91:1, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand." That word, the word Most High, is El Elyon. That means the Most High. I really think, this is an opinion, but I really think that's an alludes to Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, because he is the most high. And so I believe this is talking about our place in Christ, the secret place. And so it says, dwelling in the place of the Most High, there's some things that will take place in our lives. And so he's saying, no foe can withstand the power of the Most High God. There's no sickness that can withstand the power, the healing power, the power of the Most High God. No malady, no condition, no disease can resist that power. That's what the Word says. This isn't something we wrote. This is something God said about himself. There is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no oppression known to man that can withstand the mighty healing power of God. His power is most high. It's higher than any disease that you can name. It's higher. There's no diagnosis that's beyond that power. There's other scriptures that I always spent time really just feeding on. If there was nothing else I did, I fed on these on a daily basis. The other one was Exodus 23:25, and then in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15, where God says that he would take away from us all sickness. So again, there was nothing outside of all. Is anything excluded from all? Nothing is excluded from all. But yet in our minds, there are certain diagnoses that we receive in life that try to dominate our attention. Now, you all know I openly shared my journey with you that I was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago. It's actually almost 2 years ago exactly that. It is 2 years ago right now. and I'll tell you that name, that term, will try to dominate your thought life. It will try to dominate your thinking. It will try to take your full attention and command you and wrench you around and whip you around. But that's only because we have assigned a certain value to that.
That's right.
We've assigned, incurable to that. Man has done that. Man has said incurable. Now, you know what? With God, there is no incurable. You know why? Because God can raise the dead. How you think incurable, you think, well, that's dead. No, God even raises the dead. Amen? So there is nothing that can withstand that mighty healing power of God. You know, people will say things, well, it's stage 4 cancer. Well, of course, anybody that knows anything about cancer knows that stage 4 is like end-stage cancer. No, I thought about that today. I thought about that today, and I thought, you know what? Before we were saved, we were stage 4 lost. Weren't we? We were stage 4 end game lost. All it took for us to get saved was simple trust in the grace of God and a response of faith. That's all it took. Simple trust and a response of faith. It was not an end game at all, yet we were totally lost. We were dead, as the Bible says, dead in our sins. Another passage of scripture, two passages that I fed on consistently was Joshua 21:45 and 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 56. And it says that not one word has failed of all his good promises. In the New Testament, it tells us that all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. That means if you can find a promise in God's word and you went to God and said, is this for me? He would say, yep, amen. Any promise that you would go to God with, he would say yes, and he would say amen. So, has God changed at all?
No.
From those days, from those old covenant days? Not at all, because we know it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what God promised under the old covenant, he fulfilled through Jesus Christ in the new. So it's fulfilled. So our approach to healing has got to rest on these foundational things. These foundational facts that God is the healer, a healer, that is what he is and what he does, that God is able to take care of all sickness and all disease, amen, and that none of his words will ever fail us. See, that's our job. Our job is to get our minds renewed to this, to where that is as real to us, more real. I was talking with my friend the other day, and I was telling her, we were talking about my journey, and I said, there's times I look back at it, I forget about it. Honestly, there's many days go by, I just totally forget. And I told her, it's almost like it was just a little bump in the road for me. And she said, well, that's because it had no power for you. That you never owned it. You know, I never owned it. I never called it my cancer. I would tell people I was diagnosed with cancer, but I never owned it. I never took ownership of it because it wasn't my cancer. Amen? It's somebody's cancer, all right, but it wasn't mine. It was the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so there's certain things that have to be in place, foundational realities that have to be in place. That God is the healer yesterday and today and forever, that he heals all sicknesses, and that his word will never fail. That is foundational, absolutely foundational. You have to believe that. You can't be looking off to healing. Someday I'll be healed. Someday it'll come. You can't be thinking that way. It's now. It is now. You have to receive it as now. And I think that these are like first principles. Yes. You know, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 talks about the first principles. One of the first principles is faith towards God. And I was thinking about that. Well, faith towards God, what does that mean? That means that we have faith that he is who he says he is. That's faith towards God. That whatever God says about himself, we take him at his word. This is God that said this. This wasn't a bunch of guys that got together and decided to pull some nice thoughts, some warm thoughts about God together. This is God's word about himself. This is what God says. And he's the one who said, I am the healer, the Lord who heals you. I am that person. That's me. That's my job. That's what I do. That's who I am. And so our faith towards him, when we think of God, has to be the God who's healed, who's made provision for me, not the God who will heal someday or who I'm waiting on to heal me. It's the God who has healed. So that's what our faith towards God has to be comprised of. When we approach him, it's always got to be with a heart and mindset that this is who he is. And what is faith? It's just a simple response to that truth. That's what faith towards God is. We come to him responding to this reality, to this truth. And if we can't do that, then that again is where traditions and doctrines of men come in. And they cloud our thinking. And they affect how we approach God. People will come in not knowing what they can expect, not knowing that it's a finished work, not understanding that. And so they'll question whether or not God will do what his word says has already been done for them. Another passage that alludes to this is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this tells us some interesting things about faith here. It says, without faith it's impossible to please him. So in a way it says, for he that cometh, then it says for. So in other words, it's tying this next statement to that first statement. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, but it says, for he that cometh to God. So faith in this is showing us here that faith is a response. It's a coming to God. And it's a coming to God with a heart belief. And what is the heart belief? That he is. That he is what? That he's my healer.
Yes.
Amen. That he's my need meter, that he's my deliverer, that he's the one who delivers my life from the pit of destruction, that he, all the things God says about himself, that he is that. You know, some people say, well, no, this is talking about people that aren't saved, and they have to believe that God is to be pleasing to God. Well, you're not going to come to somebody that you don't believe he is. I mean, are you going to draw near to someone that you don't believe they are, period, that they exist? That doesn't even make sense. No, we have to respond to he is our healer. That's a response of faith. So we have to believe that he is Jehovah Rapha, and that healing was provided for us through the atonement, period. If there's anything when you begin sharing with people about healing, is you share with them, it's part of the atonement. Do you accept the fact that Jesus died for your sins? Then you have to. Have to. Again, it's a coin spending issue. You have to accept that he died for your healing. It's part of the atonement. Amen. Isaiah 53. Read Isaiah 53. It not only talks about our sins being taken care of, it talks about our healing being taken care of, that Jesus died for our health, or for our healing. So faith is a response to what God has already done for us by grace. And to be in faith about healing, that means we must believe that he is who he says he is. He's not a withholder. He's not a punisher. He's not a condemner. He's not out of touch. He's not irrelevant. It's not like the first time poor old God finds out that you need healing, that you need to receive healing in your body, is when you tell him. He's so out of touch. You know, we need to pray. Now, I'm not opposed to praying about healing, but sometimes that's all people do. I prayed about it. I just don't know why nothing's happening. I prayed about it. Well, that's not what the Bible tells us to do. It doesn't tell us just to pray about it. And when they say prayed about it, what they're doing is they're petitioning. You don't need to petition for healing. Healing's a done deal. Healing already belongs to you. Amen? It belongs to you. You need to go in, as Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul," who what? He forgives all our iniquities. He heals our... What is bless the Lord? That means you're thanking God for what he did for you. You're thanking God for healing you. You're not asking him to heal you. You're thanking him for healing you. And some people, they get so confused by that. Well, then why am I not healed? What's the matter? Why am I not? Well, we'll get to that. Another scripture, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, because so many people are still waiting on God to do something. When it comes to healing, there is no waiting on God. Listen to this. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, of course, people say, well, that's talking about people at the end times, you know, getting saved before the door closes and before the Lord takes us all home. We can apply this to any area of our lives. It says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. God's not a slacker. That's what this is telling us. He is not a slacker. As some people would count slackness, I just don't understand. You know, I asked God to heal me. I've had hands laid on me. People have prayed for me, and I'm still not healed. I don't understand. They're counting God as slack. It says, but he is long. Now, isn't it interesting? It says he turns the tables from himself to us. He says that he's long-suffering towards you. God's not the slacker. He says he's long-suffering toward us. And he's not willing that anybody should perish. That means anybody be destroyed. But this is what he wills, that all men should come to repentance. What's the word repentance? Metanoia, what does it mean? To change your mind. You know, the sooner we change our mind about these truths, these realities, especially about the issue of healing, the sooner we change our mind about that, the sooner we'll be in a place to receive what's already been given to us. It's an issue of changing our minds, getting our minds renewed. He's not a slacker. So all of these things, these specific realities, have to be in place as a foundation for healing in our lives. Or what happens is then we're in a place where we begin to question God. And we need to know, we know God's faithful. We know God will heal all disease, or has healed all disease, has taken healing or sickness away from our midst. We know that none of his promises will ever fail. But we also know that there's a man side. Amen? It's not either or, it is both. That's part of the order of the kingdom of God. It's always both. It's what God has done, and then it's man's response to what God has done. Grace is what God does. Faith is what man does. And faith is just a response to what God has done by grace. So that's where Proverbs chapter 4 comes in. And I love Proverbs chapter 4. You know, I've taught this passage probably more than just about any other passage in all the years that I've been preaching. But Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, this is, I believe, God's prescription for healing. He says, "My son, attend." Now, this is God telling us what our part is. He says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So in my journey, again, and just forgive me, but that's all I can share that works is my own walk in this. And this is how it helped me see this, how I process this passage. He says, "Attend to my words and incline your ear to my sayings." I looked at it this way. I looked that words, attending to his words, was looking at what was written. What was written for the purpose of establishing sound doctrine in me. So he said, attend to that. Attend to the word. Get established in sound doctrine. Well, there's still a lot of Christians that are not established in sound doctrine regarding healing.
That's for sure.
I mean, they're good people. This is not to be critical at all. But they believe God uses sickness to punish, to teach, that it's his timing. There's a whole bunch of tradition and doctrine things that people believe that were developed through man's reasoning according to his experience. We don't interpret God's word according to our experience. He says, attend to my words. Now, to pay attention to what I've written down for the purpose of sound doctrine. And then he says, and incline your ear to my sayings. I looked at this second part of it is the part where God will direct and guide us. The voice of God coming. So we have the first part, which is his written word, to help get our hearts established in the truth. But then there's this second part. They're equally important because the word establishes parameters for sound doctrine that we can then determine the validity of the directives. I'll say that again. The word establishes parameters for doctrine so that we can rightly divide and judge the validity of the directives that come. In other words, the leadings that come. When God says something to us or tells us something, we need to have such sound doctrine that we know, yep, I read that in the Word. The Word says, I know, I've heard things like that in the Scripture. Yep, that's God. But there's people that are so vulnerable to the woo-woo side because they're not grounded in the Word. They're chasing after, you know, the spooky natural stuff. And that can be dangerous because that can lead people down a wrong path. The Amplified is so good. It says, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Isn't that good? So you have to attend to the word. Think about attending to, we'll use the example of a nurse attending a patient. You know, she's in there. She's checking their vitals. She's keeping an eye on them because their life depends on it. So she's attending to them. We need to attend to the word. And then it says consent. Give your consent to his sayings. I mean, be quick to say yes when God directs you. Consent and submit. How do you submit to something? By obeying it. Amen? So we attend to the word and we consent and we submit to his sayings. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those that find them and healing and health to all their flesh. So pay attention to the word. Are we paying attention to the word? Consent and submit to his sayings. Are we consenting and submitting to his sayings? I would say this is probably the one place where the person who hasn't received and who's been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting is missing it. This is not talking about something you do on Sunday. This is talking about day in, day out. Why do I say that? Because both Joshua 1 and Psalms 1 tell us we have to do this day and night. Why do we have to do this day and night? Because the Lord showed me this years ago. You do it day and night because sickness and disease works day and night. When you're diagnosed with a disease, it's at work in you day and night. You might be sleeping, but it's not sleeping. It's at work day and night. It's wearing you down. It's destroying your body. It's ravaging your mind. It's sucking up your finances. It's doing that day and night, day and night. This is for anybody that's believing God for a full healing in their body. I would challenge you, are you attending to the word? Are you consenting and submitting to the saints? Are you hearing the sayings of God? Has God said anything to you? God spoke to me all the time about things I was dealing with. I shared with this not that long ago I guess it was a while ago. I think it was still when we were at the old building. That one day I was out on the porch and I was meditating and I was singing that wonderful song that we do. I forget the name of it. Oh, your love knows no end. And there's that line in there, I will forgive as you forgive. And boy, just like that. Zing. And I realized that I had some unforgiveness in my life towards a family member. And I felt justified. Like, this is okay. I had a family member that was acting like a naughty person. And they had been acting like a naughty person and making things very difficult for us. This is when we were selling my mom's home. And it was very unpleasant. And it was unpleasant for everyone. And it was really holding up things. And I was just ticked off and angry. And I copped an attitude. And the Lord dealt with me about it. Now, that's a saying. That's a directive. I had to consent. I had to acknowledge it. Yep, you're right. And I had to submit.
That's right.
Right? You think I forgave? You bet I did. Johnny on the spot. I did that because I knew that the enemy it takes advantage of cracks in doors. You know, thieves, why do we lock our doors at night? To keep the thieves out. We need to close up the gaps in our lives to keep the thief out, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so you bet I close that up as quick as possible. I mean, if God points something out to you, you better pay attention to that. That's part of your healing journey or your healing process. And so then I started thinking about Deuteronomy chapter 28, you know, this wonderful passage of Scripture that gives us all the blessings of God that would come upon and overtake us. And a lot of people read this passage of Scripture and they're, all they can think about is getting into works with it, you know. But really, from a New Testament perspective, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, all that really is stressing the importance of paying attention to both the Word of God and the voice of God. Because that's what it's talking about. It says, paying attention to His commandments, hearkening to the voice of His Word, carefully observing what we hear, doing what we hear. You know, it's not works. It's not works at all. It's being established. Again, it's being established in God's Word, and it's being Spirit-led. Now, they couldn't be Spirit-led, but we can. We're supposed to live our lives Spirit-led. Amen? Doesn't the Bible tell us that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God? And so it's talking about just being established in His Word and being Spirit-led. Another thing, talking about this from the perspective of being like a prescription, you know, in a natural sense, the success of a treatment or a prescription depends on a couple different things. First of all, it depends on the knowledge and the expertise of the professional person you're dealing with, a medical professional, your doctor, or therapist, or whoever it is that you're dealing with. But it also depends on your compliance with their treatments, right? You know, a doctor might prescribe a specific treatment or medication. On that thing, he will give a specific dosage and directions for use. Back some time ago here, I had some issues going on that I stood for quite a while, and I finally just said, this is such a huge distraction to me. It was pain that I had, and it was such a huge distraction to me that I just decided I went, after a month, that I was going to go see the doctor about it. And my doctor said, well, we can deal with this right away. So she told me she was going to put me on a course of steroids, which, of course, you know, I don't like any of that kind of thing, but pain stinks. And Dwayne could tell you the kind of pain that I was dealing with for that month was miserable. So I submitted to that, but she made me promise that I would follow the directions of that particular prescription to the letter, because it was an interesting prescription that I'd never had before, where you take, Dora could probably explain this better, but I took like 7 pills the first day, and then I think it was 5 the second day, and then I think it was 3 the next day, and then it was like for 5 days, and then it was, it got down to where I took 1, and it was very, very specific how it had to be taken. And you know what? It worked like a charm. It was just awesome. So, you know, if I hadn't experienced any improvement and I had gone back to my doctor and told her this didn't work, what do you think the first thing would be that she'd ask me? Did you take your medicine as instructed? You know, would it be logical for me to question her? Like, why aren't I not better? Why didn't you heal me? Why didn't you deal with this doctor? Would that be logical? Absolutely not, and yet that's what Christians are doing with God every day. Why didn't you heal them, Lord? Why didn't you heal me, Lord? Why am I not healed? God gave us a prescription. He told us exactly what we need to do. And that's where we have to become very honest with ourselves, whether or not we're consenting and submitting to that. Not holding him accountable, but holding ourselves accountable. Again, it's not like shooting craps. It's a process of divine order. And if we don't understand that, then we're going to take all of our misbeliefs and our experiences, and we're going to bring them to God, and that will be the foundation of our questioning of him, and it's going to be saying, God, you're not faithful. But Psalm 91 says that his word is, and his truth are like a shield. They are a shield his word and his faithfulness are a shield. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield. God is faithful if he's anything. He is faithful. He can always be counted on. He can always be counted on. He's not going to change his mind. And just like natural medication, like our bodies will respond naturally to natural medication, our bodies were created by the Word of God, and our bodies will respond to the Word of God. They were created to respond to the Word of God. But what are we using our mouths to do? We're using our mouths to speak for our bodies. We're not using our mouths to speak for the Word. We're using our mouths to speak for the body. We're using our mouth to tell everybody how sick we are, how bad it is, how much pain we're in, how miserable we are, how we just don't see how we can get through this, I don't know how I'm going to make it, blah, 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 blah. And while all those things may be true, that you are suffering and that you are, we're using our mouth for the wrong purpose. We're using our mouth to represent the circumstances instead of the Word of God. Our bodies were created to respond to God's Word. I like what I heard one brother say. He says, God's Word is an authoritative prescription. Just like you would expect a prescription to work for you, to bring relief to you, to bring healing. You know, how many of you just, you just aren't feeling tip-top, you hear a little bit of a headache, and just, I'm just going to take the Advil. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Sometimes the headache is so bad you can't think clearly. Take the Advil. Just follow the directions, amen? Don't take a handful, because you'll ruin your liver. But, you know, after you take that, you just basically, you kind of dismiss the whole thing and go on your merry way, don't you? Why? Because you know. It's just a matter of time. And that healing is going to, you're going to experience the full healing in your body. Why don't we have that much faith in God's word, in God's authoritative prescriptions? Why is it that we can't settle it in our minds and hearts that God's word has that same potential in our lives? You know, there's things when it comes to the sayings part, the directives that God might give us. I shared that with me recently, or back some months ago, it was forgiveness. God may direct you for part of your healing to go to the elders of the church for prayer and for laying on of hands. That might happen. But he also might say things to you like, you need to adjust your diet. You need to start exercising. You need to get more sleep. You need to forgive. You need to control your tongue. You need to spend time praying in the Spirit. There's things that God may say to you. Oftentimes we dismiss that stuff as our own thoughts. But those are directives of God. That's part of that authoritative prescription. It is the man's side of the healing journey. One thing I find interesting is people get a hold of one revelation about healing. Maybe it's authority. You have authority. God, I've got authority over sickness. And you know what they say about to give somebody a hammer?
Everything's a nail.
Everything looks like a nail. So they think the answer to everything is just taking authority over it. But that's not true. It's more than just authority. It's more than just taking authority. And in some cases, we try to take authority where we have no authority. We try to take authority over other people and the things they're dealing with. Now, unless they have submitted themselves to you, that's another thing entirely. But Jesus healed in a myriad of ways.
Yes.
You know, he healed by speaking to things. He spoke to a fever in Peter's mother-in-law, who she was She was sleeping and she had a fever that was a ravaging type of fever, and he rebuked the fever. Now, isn't that interesting? He spoke to a fever. That means fevers can hear. If fevers can hear, then cancer can hear. Amen? And he spoke to it. He commanded it. There's other times he just laid hands on people. There was a time he spit and he made clay and he slapped that in the guy's eye. In that guy's eye. Where do you suppose he got all that stuff? I believe he got that in his time with God. You know, he said that he didn't do anything except that the Father showed him. So that means that someplace along the way, God showed him to do that. God showed him exactly what to do in those particular cases. And God will do the same for us. That's part of the healing prescription, is for us to attend to his word, but also to have an attentive ear to his directives, to the things he wants to say to us. But he will administer a prescription to us. But we have to attend to it, we have to consent to it, and we have to submit to it. And the thing I always want to tell people when they want to ask, well, why then? Why hasn't the healing come? I believe it's because they're still looking for something outside. I believe the focus, and this is what helped me so much in my own journey, was focusing on what God had already placed inside of me. One passage of scripture that I spent a lot of time confessing over myself was Romans chapter 8, verse 12. It tells us that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and that it will quicken my mortal body. I mean, you can't fudge with that scripture at all and try to, that's not what it means. Tell me what it means then. It's saying that we have power on the inside of us that's just waiting to be accessed. It's waiting to be acknowledged and accessed. It's there in the person of the Holy Spirit. Get the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you if you're a believer. The power of God is living on the inside of you. So healing power is living on the inside of you. But we have to acknowledge it, we have to consent, and we have to submit to that. That's not going to happen if we're always talking about why it's not working and how bad it is and how much it hurts and how, you know, blah, 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 blah. We could go on and on and on. Think about it. This is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Again, how bad can something get? Can something get any worse than dead? No, it can't. It can't get any worse than that. So then what we're dealing with in comparison, the power of God is more than enough to deal with that. Amen? So our part is just to pay attention, to get established in the doctrines of healing. Get established in these realities. Don't be looking for something that's yet going to happen, but look at what has already happened, those realities that have already happened. Seek that. Seek the how-tos in your place of prayer. This is where communing with God comes in, where we just spend time communing with him. And if we don't understand this, we're going to spend a lot of time just waiting on God to do something. I'm telling you what, that's a state of unbelief. To be waiting on God is a state of unbelief. God's waiting on us. And usually what he's waiting on is he's waiting for us to make the adjustment in our mind that's keeping us from allowing that power of God to flow freely in our lives. But you have to give your consent, and you have to submit, and you have to sign the release forms. Amen? Don't you have to do that when you go into the doctor? You have to sign all this stuff. Check the boxes and sign the forms and blah, 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 blah. And what does that do? When we do that, when we say what God says about our healing and we obey what he tells us to do regarding our healing, that activates that healing power that's on the inside of us. You know, we all heard, I think it was Andrew Womack that says healing, God's word is voice activated. It's voice activated. But are we keeping it in front of our eyes on a daily basis? Are we feeding? It says, don't let it get away from you. Don't let it depart from before your eyes and lives. Don't let the word ever get away from you. You should have that word in front of your eyes every day. There's days that go by when I haven't done that, and the Lord will remind me, you've let the word depart. You let the word depart. You haven't looked at that. You haven't looked at those scriptures. And you know, sure enough, when I do that, something fresh will come. It's amazing. how fresh the word is on a daily basis. It's voice activated, though. But the greatest mistake is to assume if we're not experiencing these things, that it all falls on God. It's his problem. He hasn't done it yet, or he hasn't moved. Or we take it all on ourselves. It's both. We have to be grounded on both sides of this. It's consistent attention to God's word and God's directives that precedes the breakthroughs. Just like it says in Joshua 1 and Psalms 1, it tells us what will happen. If it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. That's talking about breakthroughs. We want a breakthrough in healing, then we have to do what that passage says. Psalms 1 says the same. If we want a breakthrough in the area of healing, we're going to have to do what God... It's just like the doctor. If we don't do what the doctor tells us to do, if we don't take the medication he gives us and use it as it was prescribed, how much good? In fact, I think Dora could stand up here and tell us that if we take that prescription the wrong way, it can do more harm than good. Particularly with antibiotics. If you don't take a full course of antibiotics, it can actually create disease-resistant strains of things in your body. You have to take it as directed. God's word is the same way. We have to take it as directed. I have this wonderful confession that I confess consistently for myself, that the mighty power of God that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. That power is at work in me. It is beyond measure, vast, boundless, immense, limitless, and immeasurable. That power is in me by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it eclipses all other powers and cannot be resisted by any work of the enemy. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. That's just a paraphrase of Ephesians 1, verses 19 and 20. There is nothing the devil has that can trump God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't care how bad the disease is, how bad the doctor's report is. God has an answer for it, and he has a way through that. I even just recently was listening to a podcast by a nutritionist and a well-known cancer doctor, and this cancer doctor said something that I found to be very interesting. He said, cancer is nothing. Cancer is a totally treatable disease. The problem is that modern science isn't treating it. They're not treating it properly. They're poisoning and radiating, but they're not treating. He says, we can give these people years and years and years of good life because it is treatable, but you have to know what it is and you have to know how to treat it. I thought, man, that is so awesome. He says it's a metabolic condition. It can be treated metabolically. And I thought, man, even science says it. Science is agreeing that, you know, cancer is not an end game. So my last scripture is another one. Again, so many, I say all of these are ones I fed on, but I have a several-page document that I read on a consistent basis and meditated on regularly. But this one is so precious to me. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. In the Amplified, he says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and the curse. Therefore you shall choose life in order that you may live and your descendants. And then the reason I like this particular translation is it says something here in a little different way, and it tells us how we choose life. You know, so a lot of people just think they choose life by saying, I choose life. I choose life. But this tells us how we choose life. This is how we choose life that we may live. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice and holding closely to him. Now listen to this. For he is your life, your good life, your abundant life, your fulfillment, and the length of your days. Isn't that awesome? Why would we choose to agree with disease or with sickness or death? Why would we choose to agree with them when God is our life? He is our good life, our abundant life, our fulfillment, and the length of our days. That you may live in the land which the Lord promised, swore to give your fathers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says it's your choice. We can choose life. All we have to do is love God. We have to obey his voice and hold closely to him. That means listen. Have an ear open all the time to listen. If you have something going on in your life, there isn't anything you need to do more than seek the voice of God. Seek the face of God to hear what you need. Because it tells us if we'll seek him, we'll find him. And we need to seek him as a vital necessity. It says to seek him, to obey his voice, hold closely to him, because he is our life. God is our life. Amen? And none of this is hard. It's such easy, such practical things. God doesn't make things tough. He doesn't make things obscure or difficult to grasp. He makes them easy because he loves us. He loves us like we love our children. You know, it's not that we do everything for our kids, but we want them to learn, but we're going to make things doable for them, don't we? Isn't that what we want to do so that they can learn their lessons in life, but in a doable way? Well, that's what God has done. He said, look, I've got my part all taken care of. Healing is already yours. This is what you need to do now. You need to attend to my word on a daily basis. You need to attend to my word. Put everything else away. Just go on a fast for a while. Fast some of the distractions for a while. Put everything away. Attend to his word for a while. And be quiet and listen. Most people, they get into a place of prayer and they, yak, 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 yak. You know, you can't listen and talk at the same time. You have to stop and you have to listen. And why do I say it? Because God has things he wants to say to us. He actually wants to say things. He wants to tell us why something might not seem like it's working. He might want to show you how to get that power of God flowing in your life that's already there. But if we don't learn these things and if we don't practice them, what we're left with is disappointment and questions, and usually the questions are to God's detriment, why he hasn't done it yet. I know someday, somehow, it's going to happen. And there's nothing God can do for us when we have that attitude, because he's already done it. Now, I believe there are places, situations where somebody becomes so critically ill that they're unable to deal with things on their own. Then God loves us so much, he'll get healing to us any way he can. And there are times when God will use others to come alongside, like we saw in the ministry of Jesus, operate through the gifts of the Spirit, operate, you know, some people just know how to take authority in that particular situation. But but even then, those things have to be led by the Spirit. We have to listen to God even for those things to operate. God will get healing to us any way he can. Amen. Because he loves us. Amen. He's got a plan for our lives that he wants fulfilled. You know, God loves it when his kids come home, but they're, you know, I'm sure when they come in, he's tempted to say, you're a little early. You know, you're a little early. We're not quite ready for you yet. Go back. Because he's got a job for us to do here. Amen? So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you for your love, your care, your mercy, your kindness.